On episode 441 of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Dr. Jody Skillicorn and discuss her book, Healing Depression Without Medication. You can find the full show notes for this episode at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/441.
Have you decided you're ready to make a change? To reclaim your health and fitness? The 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is here for you. I'm your host, Alan Meisner. I'm an NSAM certified personal trainer with a specialization in corrective exercise and fitness nutrition. Let me be your coach as you find your way on your health and fitness journey. All right, let's go.
This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Swanson Health. They have been producing high-quality vitamins and supplements, foods, and healthy home and self-care products for nearly as long as I've been alive. When I first visited their website, you can access it at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson, I was floored by the selection. They have over 20,000 wellness products. From quality vitamins and supplements, to cruelty-free beauty items, to eco-friendly home products, Swanson Health is here to keep you healthy. I picked up some vitamin E, the tocotrienols, as discussed with Dr. Tan on episode 440, some CoQ10 for heart health, vitamin A for eye health, and some probiotics for gut health. With all that's going on in the world, I'm supplementing to bolster myself against stress and support my immune system. I also picked up some elderberry syrup for my wife, which she is also using for immune support. Not only does Swanson Health offer many of the highest quality brands, they also carry their own Swanson brand vitamins and supplements. And as it is becoming more relevant in recent times, I can tell you the Swanson brand of vitamins and supplements are made in the United States, following strict quality standards. If you want to try Swanson Health's great products for yourself, go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson and use the code FITNESS20 for 20% off. Here is your chance to stock up on the vitamins and supplements you need to support yourself on your health and fitness journey and save money in the process. Go check them out at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/Swanson and don't forget to use that code FITNESS20 for 20% off. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by SaveTheChildren.org. COVID-19 has been devastating for many of us, but no one is more affected than children. It has left many children without caregivers, out of school, and exposed to violence and exploitation. We used to be winning the battle on poverty, but now poverty is rising, especially for children. Save the Children believes every child deserves a future. In the United States and around the world, they work every day to give children a healthy start in life, the opportunity to learn, and protection from harm. With your support, Save the Children can help children in unsafe households and help support distance learning in the face of school closures. Here are some ways your support can make a difference. $10 can nourish an out-of-school child in need for one day, including breakfast, lunch, and dinner. $35 can provide educational toys and activities to engage eager out-of-school learners. $50 can deliver essentials to keep kids learning while out of school, like books, activities, and supplies. Go to savethechildren.org/save kids to help save the children in this time of unprecedented need. Our guest today is an osteopathic physician, board certified in psychiatry, and a diplomat of the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine. She integrates conventional medical training with evidence-based holistic methods that include breathwork, meditation, yoga, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCT, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, EMDR, emotional freedom techniques, EFT, mind-body medicine, energy medicine, nutrition, supplements, exercise, nature, and acupuncture. With no further ado, here's Dr. Jody Skillicorn. Dr. Skillicorn, welcome to 40 Plus Fitness.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
You know, I'm a geek on anything that has to do with health and fitness. You know, I had a call, which we're going to listen to later, from a listener that had some questions for me, trying to find a guest that could talk about this issue. And your book, Healing Depression Without Medication, I got into it thinking, okay, this is another depression. You know, when you did depression, so you're talking about depression, and you know, we're talking about without medication, which you know, I'm all for it. The fewer medications we can be on, particularly as we get older, for me, the better, the side effects and everything else. And you had so many references and stories and, you know, all this. I go down those rabbit holes. I'm the guy that goes down those rabbit holes. And you created a lot of rabbit holes, which is a good thing. I love, love, love learning new things and getting down into the deep of some of this. I really appreciate your book. It was well-researched and well put together.
Thank you.
And I know in the subtitle you say psychiatrist's guide, but this is written for everybody.
Yes, yes.
Now, one of the big things that is in science, and we've known about it for a long time, it's just kind of surprising to me that we don't take advantage of it more often, is the placebo-nocebo effect. Can you talk about those two things? And then I want to dive a little bit deeper into that.
Sure, absolutely. So placebo comes from the Latin root to please. And so we often, placebo, we kind of dismiss, like most people when they talk about it, they'll be like, oh, it's just placebo, as if it is this, you know, thing for gullible people. But the reality is we're all influenced by placebo, and placebo is powerful. And pharmaceutical companies spend a whole lot of money to try to figure out how to make it less powerful so that their medications come out slightly better than placebo. But it's actually really hard to do because it's incredibly powerful. It changes the brain and the body in a similar fashion to the medications themselves. And in fact, if we're talking about antidepressants, about 80% of the effectiveness of the medication is actually a placebo effect. But one of my favorite placebo studies is actually one that was done with patients with irritable bowel syndrome. It was a 2010 study. And what they did is they actually divided people with irritable bowel into two groups. And so half of them received whatever the best, most expensive, supposedly most effective medication at the time that was available. And the other group received placebo. But the hitch here is the bottle actually said placebo. They knew they were getting placebo, but they were educated on the power of placebo and how it can be just as effective as medications. And so they told them how effective it could be, and that it particularly had seemed to have a strong effect for those with irritable bowel. And the results were that those with, they came out the same. They were equally effective. So it's very real and very powerful. And unfortunately, what we give too often is the opposite, the nocebo effect, which means I shall harm. And unfortunately, often, all too often, patients, that's exactly what they're getting from their doctor. They're being told that, you know, this is a chronic problem that has no solutions, which is in effect sort of this voodoo effect of that now there is no solution available, right? It creates hopelessness and a sense of powerlessness. And there's a great story. One of my favorite stories for the nocebo effect, though, was it was a case study of some guy, some 26-year-old guy named Mr. A. And he had started, he was put on a drug trial for an antidepressant a couple months after a breakup, which in and of itself is questionable, like why he would be on a medication for a breakup. But anyway, so he was put on this medication and he started to feel better. And then a couple of weeks later, he got in a fight with his ex-girlfriend and impulsively overdosed on the medication. And he immediately felt bad about it and called for help. And in the ambulance, it was documented that he was drowsy and lethargic, and his blood pressure was low, he was sweaty, his heart rate was up. And so they called to figure out what he was on the trial. And a couple hours later, someone from the trial came up and told them that basically that he was on placebo. And within 15 minutes, he was totally normal again. But the power of, so it's equally powerful, this, what we think and what we perceive and what we believe influences us on every level.
Yeah. I had, Marcus, Freudenman on to talk. He was talking about cancer, curing cancer. And, it was one of the things he said in the beginning of his book was, you know, you go into your doctor and the diagnosis is cancer and they tell you, you have 3 months to live.
Yes.
And most people live 3 months almost to the day.
Yes.
Because
yes.
The brain is so powerful over what the body's doing. And in many cases, most cases, I guess, actually is more powerful than medication. What I found fascinating in your book was you talked about exposing people to poison ivy, whether it was real or imaginary poison ivy. and their results were phenomenal.
Yes, what we think and what we believe influences how our body responds. So yeah, in the study, they took so a group of participants were actually exposed to real poison ivy, but they were asked to imagine that the plant was harmless. So this was just using their own, the power of their own minds. And over 80% of them were able to completely eliminate the histamine response that leads to the itchiness and the redness and the blisters. And then they did a reverse experiment where they exposed a group of people to a perfectly harmless plant, but they imagined it to be poison ivy, and a large percent of them broke out in rashes. And it just shows, right, how important it is to learn to start to notice our thoughts and how we can, so we end up creating a reality. It can be a better reality or a worse reality, depending on how we perceive it. Another great story along that lines is, given what you do, is there was an amazing story that chambermaids, Dr. Ellen Langer did this study. And in this study, they took a group of women who worked as maids in a hotel, and they divided them into two groups. And at the beginning, they took a lot of their weight and their cortisol levels and their blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. And all of them were basically reporting that they were barely getting any exercise, and that they pretty much just went home and sat on the couch and did nothing, or couch potatoes. And then they divided into two groups, and the one group just kind of went about their business and was doing the exact same thing. But the other group was given a class, just a simple 15-minute class on how, in reality, all their work at the hotel way exceeded what most people get in exercise in any given day. And within just a couple weeks, they had lost weight, and their blood pressure had dropped, and their sugar levels had dropped, and they were looking and feeling better. And all that had changed was a little education in how they perceived what they were actually doing on a daily basis.
And that's what's so amazing, you know, just a thought, just a positive thought or a belief system that you create for yourself can be that powerful. And when we're talking about depression, you know, I'm not going to say it's all in your head, because there's trauma and things that have happened in your past that you have to work past those things. But there's so many side effects to these medications, and they're marginally effective, and maybe not even more effective than, like we talked about, the placebo. The reason I reached out and wanted to talk about this topic is, one, and you put the stats in the book, the number of people on prescription drugs for depression is just astronomical. You know, I have an ex-wife that was using them quite regularly, and it was an interesting little roller coaster we were on. But one of the big problems with these drugs is that it makes it extremely difficult to be healthy in other ways, to lose weight and whatnot. So I'm going to go ahead and play her recording here.
Okay. Hello, Alan. This is Susan, and I have a question for you. Have you ever considered doing a program on antidepressants and anxiety medicines and how they impact metabolism and weight? I am curious about that, because ever since I've been taking Cymbalta and Abilify to deal with my depression and anxiety, my ability to lose weight, I've actually gained weight, and then trying to take it off has just been very, very challenging. So didn't know if you had any resources you could go to share about what are best ways to deal with that. Thanks.
So Dr. Skillicorn, what do you think about that?
Yeah, so Susan's absolutely right. So often, all too often, physicians and psychiatrists too blame the patient for the weight gain. But the reality is 65% of studies on antidepressants, and even more when it comes to antipsychotics, which is what Abilify is, show weight gain, and not just a little weight gain, but the studies show around 15 to 25 pounds are within 6 months to 1 year are often accumulated after starting these medications. And antipsychotics are even worse, and they've been shown to change our microbiome, so the balance of the bacteria in our gut, so that it makes it much harder to lose weight. And I'm not sure if they figured out what the link is specifically with antidepressants. I think there's different ones, but it is very, very real and very much not mentioned. And in fact, that weight gain actually doubles the risk for diabetes for those who are on antidepressants.
Yeah, well, you know, we know hormones and mood and a lot of other things do affect how we feel, stress, those types of things. They do impact our body physically. I know when I was working in corporate and the stress levels were higher, it didn't matter how well I felt like I was eating or how hard I was working out. It was just really difficult for me to have the body composition I wanted because the stress was just holding me back.
Absolutely.
You know, and yeah. It's kind of one of those catch-22s. If you want to work out harder, you're pushing yourself harder, you're creating more stress because you're not seeing what you want. And so, yeah, the meds, if there's a way around the meds, we have to take that path. We have to try that path. And a lot of what you've talked about in the book, I think, is huge. And we're going to get into a little bit of that in a minute. This episode of the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast is sponsored by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to celebrity memoirs, news, business, history, fiction, and of course, health and fitness. In fact, our guest, Dr. Skillicorn's audiobook, Healing Depression Without Medication, is available on Audible. The Audible app is completely free to download and use on Apple or Android devices. Have a smartphone and a tablet and like to switch between the two? No worries. The Audible app lets you pick right up where you left off. I find their app to be better and easier to use than any podcast app out there. By the way, they're also producing podcasts. I love Audible because it lets me get out and about and enjoy wonderful audiobooks. When I want to go on a long walk, I'll pick up something in my library based on my mood, fiction or nonfiction, and hit the road. Power user tip. I put it on 1.5 times speed as I've found when the narrator is talking faster, I walk faster. I love having Audible as my walking companion. Audible is offering you a free trial at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/audible. That's AUDIBLE. You're listening to a podcast, so I know you understand the value of on-demand audio content. In my opinion, Audible is the best at that. Get your free trial at 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/audible. One of the things you went into that it's hard for me to talk about because I had an interesting child. I call it an interesting childhood. I score pretty well on the ACE score. Let's just put it that way. You know, for me, that was just growing up in a tough environment. And maybe it had something to do with how I lived my 30s and early 40s. Before I figured a few things out. And then, yeah, how I deal with stress today. Can you talk about the ACE score and how it correlates with some of the health issues that we're dealing with today?
Yeah, so the evidence is overwhelming. So these adverse childhood events, which could be, more obvious things like abuse, obviously physical, sexual, but also emotional. It could also be emotional neglect or disconnection. It can be a parent who's depressed and just can't connect. It can be a parent who's off in jail or parents that get divorced or, right, so all these kinds of things, or just growing up as a minority, which is becoming painfully obvious for these days. I mean, it always has, but it's even more so right now while it's all in our face. But, right, all of these things cause the nervous system to become more hypervigilant and more on high alert. So that stress response is amplified to a certain point. And then at some points it can start to shut down because it's so revved up for so long. And that leads to all kinds of physiological changes and inflammation. And these childhood events 20 years later, right, there's still signs of inflammation from especially untended, unacknowledged traumas from childhood. As far as depression, what the data shows is someone who's had no adverse childhood events, and frankly, I haven't met that person yet, but in theory, the rate is about 15% chance for depression. But add in one childhood trauma, and it goes up to 25%. Two, it goes up to 40%. And by the time you're at four, it's over 400%. And the risk of suicidality is over 1,000%. the risk of alcoholism, 800% increase, and drug addiction, 500% increase. And of these people with on more than four ACEs, 97% of them end up on psychiatric medications. And yet they're the least likely to benefit from them because it's not the issue. The issue is really what I think of as a soul wound is that hasn't been tended, and just covering it up with meds, I think almost adds to it, because that's what we kind of children are sort of taught anyways. You just kind of ignore these things, get on with it, bury it under the rug. That's often what's happening in these households. And so it's certainly, it's not helping the problem whatsoever. But it also, physical illness as well, it doubles the risk of heart disease, of cancer, of coronary artery disease, stroke. It quadruples the risk of COPD. So the effects are very, very real and very, very unaddressed in our society.
You know, it's interesting. We look back at the way that doctors treated patients, and we're like, that's medieval. You know, who would cut someone's brain in half or electrocute them, or, you know, all the little things that doctors have done over the years, or big things that doctors have done over the years. And your synopsis is, you kind of went through the history of the medications. It was like, let's try this and see what happens.
Yeah.
It seems like that's how a lot of it works. And when we're talking about trying to, you know, deal with a disease or, you know, like, or something like that. Like right now, you know, going through COVID, and they're talking about, you know, treatment protocols and things. Okay, they're using real science and they're trying some things. Some of them are working, many of them are not. And it is trial and error. But when you're talking about your brain, that's scary.
Yeah, and yet, so the underlying story with the brain, and this is a fairly recent story, is that it's not able to change, really, that we have a set number of neurons, and that's the, you know, and that doesn't change. In fact, my daughter was showing me reading me from her science book on the brain and the nervous, or she was studying the cell, and she was reading about neurons, and that's what it said in there. And so I looked at the date of the book, it was 2004. I told her she better tell her teacher that was totally incorrect. But the reality is that's not true. Our brains are constantly changing with every thought and with every action. Our brains are constantly shifting and rewiring. It's just, it appears to be static because all too often we keep sending the exact same message. We keep living our lives in the same way, thinking the same thoughts. And so we get the same result. But if we change the input, we change the wiring, we change the output.
Yeah. For me, a big part of knowing that you're changing. So it's like, it's so easy to stay in our little ruts. You know, this is,
this is our space.
Yeah. Me too. It's like everybody, you know, like you look at Facebook and every personal trainer out there, or Instagram or whatever, they all want to seem to be like these perfect human beings walking the earth. You know, we're the gods of earth and you want to be like us. And I'm like, geez, I'm this dweeb little human being that's trying to be, that as a personal trainer that understands what we're supposed to be doing. And so what I know is that you need tools, you need strategies, And you need some tactics. And so I spend a lot of time on the podcast kind of thinking, what are some things that people can be doing? Obviously, they have a why. They're listening to this podcast. They have an interest. They want to make some changes. One of the tools that I've always found hugely valuable for me, every time I've done something big, I use a journal. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the value, because you go in this several times throughout the exercises and the things that you have in the book. You talk about journaling it. So can you talk about the journal and various ways that the journal can help us through this journey?
Yeah, well, the studies on journaling show that writing for 20 minutes a day for even just a few days can improve mood, decrease our stress and anxiety, and even improve our immune system. So that's a pretty powerful way to spend 20 minutes. But more than that, right, I think it's important because we also forget. We forget. So often I see people who start to do these tools, they start to feel better and they're doing great. And then I don't see them for a while. And then they come back and, you know, they're like, well, nothing's working. I need to go back on meds. And I'm like, well, remember you came to me on meds and you weren't doing well. And have you been doing your breathing? Have you been exercising? Have you been eating? You know, what have you been eating? And pretty much, right, they kind of stopped everything that made them start to feel better. Or they kind of just forgotten. And that's part of the path. There's nothing that we all kind of go through that. You kind of have to go through the levels and realize, you know, that these are the tools that actually did make us better. It didn't just magically happen. And then this, but often what I'll do is they're so unconvinced in that moment, right? That's the way they were before, or that's the way it was. And so journals can also just be a really powerful reminder of, wait, here, this is actually, these are your own words. This is what was going on back then, and you got through it. And so a reminder that we can, and we have, and we will again.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, you know, whether we're talking about this or talking about fitness or anything else, and, you know, I always tell them, it's like, yeah, there's a plateau. But what I want you to do is I want you to go back and look at your journal from 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. And look at what you were doing then and where you are now.
Yeah.
And I said, so, you know, while you're on a plateau, I don't want you to think that you're not on the mountain anymore. You're on basically a ridge, and you've got to walk the length of that ridge, and you're not going up, but you're still working your way up the mountain.
Right.
You're not singing up, you know, but you're
That's a great
movement.
Analogy.
And it's like, so just take that look down. Take that look down to see how far you've come. The journal gives you that. The journal lets you get stuff out. It lets you say, okay, I don't really want to tell someone what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, because that, you know, particularly as a guy, it's like, oh, I've got to tell people, you know, how, you know, and so just kind of being that vulnerable is really, really hard. So here's an opportunity for you to be vulnerable to yourself, which I think is that self-awareness is so important.
Yes.
And so, and then the other thing is I find, you know, once I start journaling, it's this, you know, I want to get the next one. I need to keep this series going. I don't want to drop my streak, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this running or walking or doing this training or eating a certain way or doing my meditation or, you know, doing my morning ritual, and I've been doing it for this many days. I want to keep that streak going. So however, you know, there's so many ways that you can make a journal valuable, and over and over, I can't stress enough the value of journaling.
Yeah, it is. It is a very important tool. In fact, we just moved and, I had all these boxes of journals, and I was like, man, this is a really heavy habit to have. It took up a lot of space.
I've moved to electronic. We moved down to Panama. There's just no way I could keep hard copy and have the space down here that we have. So
yeah,
like, okay, I've got to go to electronic. So I'm doing my journaling electronic on my phone on my computer. Not as nice.
Yeah, it's probably much wiser.
It is. It's just not as nice as writing stuff out. There's just something. There's something different about taking a pencil or a pen to paper and writing.
There
so
is.
I wouldn't get away from that entirely. If you can do it. But I just, you know, stuff here for me is not a good thing. So I had to move to electronic for my own sake. But if you can do paper to pen, I think that's so much better. Now, one of the other things you got into, and there's so much in the book that we can be doing to improve that is outside of what medicine would require, but just things that we can do to improve our mood, to get past depression. It can include going to a counselor. It can include a lot of things. But within the physical realm, you use this thing you called shaking. And when I was reading it, I was thinking, this sounds a lot like rebounding. Can you talk about shaking? And then I want to come back around to why I think it's a lot like rebounding.
Yeah, so shaking is actually the oldest form of mindful movement. It dates back over 100,000 years. They found evidence of people shaking, pictures on cave walls, but it's basically, and it's used. It's also a part of Qigong. So lots of people learn a form of shaking as part of that. But it's literally just grounding your feet into the earth, and it is ideal if it's in the earth, like actually outside on the ground, but it works anywhere. And then just shaking your body, right? Our body just needs to move. That's how all the toxins get released, how the lymphatic fluid moves through our body. And so it's a form of exercise, but it's a grounded form of exercise you can kind of do anywhere, anytime. I suppose you wouldn't want to do it around a whole bunch of people. That would be a little awkward, but right.
They would send you to a psychiatrist.
Not in the psych ward. Crazy person over there. But yeah, it's just moving everything and just letting it all out. And you can literally just feel the stress like releasing through the body into the ground. It's such a powerful, ideally I like to do it outside, and if you do it with music, it's even better. You're right, just really kind of getting into the movement and letting the body just move how it needs to move to release what it needs to release.
Yeah, it was, what was cool is it was, you went through about an 8-minute series of shaking and then have your music ready to then just turn it into a dance and enjoy the rest of it.
Just joyful dancing. Yeah.
And the reason I say it, it reminded me of rebounding was, again, you know, when we're talking, you know, with depression, and this is my impression from the book, is there's toxic feelings, toxic thoughts, toxic experiences from our past that we're trying to get out of our body. Mm-hmm. And the lymphatic system, there's no pumps for it. It's not like our heart or our, which is a pump, or our lungs, which have muscles that also cause it to do what it's supposed to do. The only way we're going to get the lymph, which is removing toxins from our body, to move is through skeletal movement, through moving our muscles and moving around. And so movement is very, very valuable. Shaking was one cool one because, again, it kind of gets you moving, getting out in nature, walking around, doing those types of things, grounding and moving around. Again, all those are very, very important. And I'm not just saying this as a personal trainer. This is just, you know, you're going to feel better moving around.
Yes, absolutely. I know, and every time I'm feeling sluggish, right, the last thing you want to do is get up and move, right? You kind of just sink into the couch and it's hard to move. But as soon as you do, and I think we've all had this experience, we just instantly do feel better. And especially if it can be, you know, around trees and green, it's been shown that even 15 minutes outside can improve our mood and decrease stress and anxiety. And again, it can boost our immune system, and that can last for up to a few weeks. And yet, unfortunately, fewer and fewer of us get outside on a daily basis. I guess less than 10% of kids these days spend time outside every day, which is so sad.
Yeah. Dr. Skillicorn, I define wellness as being the healthiest, fittest, and happiest you can be. What are three strategies or tactics to get and stay well?
So I think we've already mentioned a few of them, right? So the moving and the getting outside, and then, of course, food, every bite of food is energetic message to our body. It's sending a message of imbalance or of balance. And so really, you know, the more we can avoid processed foods and really eat real foods, so fruits and vegetables and whole grains. And, you know, if you eat meat, then, you know, organic, you know, grass-fed meats, but that's critical for health, for both our body and our brain. So that's definitely an important one. It's been shown that you know, we can decrease our risk of depression by 50% just by making small changes to our diet and including more of those whole foods. And then the other really important one is sleep. Again, something in our culture that gets undervalued, and there's almost a macho attitude of, right, I can get by on less and I can get more done if I get less, but less than 6 hours of sleep. And again, we put ourselves at risk for inflammation, and we triple to quadruple our risk for depression and dementia and heart disease and strokes and even death. So sleep's critical for our health. In fact, one night without sleep in our amygdala, so that part of the brain, the fight, flight, freeze, the threat detector, it gets activated by 60%. So we look around the world and we start to see threats everywhere, even in neutral expressions, even when things are going fine. So it's really, really important. And sleep, it's actually been shown, this was amazing to me, I did not know this before researching for the book, but it actually acts as a form of free therapy. So it kind of diffuses our emotional experiences through dreams. So it has, it's really, really valuable in maintaining our emotional and physical health.
Thank you, Dr. Skillicorn. If someone wanted to learn more about you, learn more about the book, Healing Depression Without Medication, and all the wonderful things that you're doing, where would you like for me to send them?
Yeah, so the book can be found just about anywhere. And I have a website, jodyskillicorn.com, and they can find information there. And I also have a Facebook page, which is Mindful Psychiatry, and then also Dr. Jody Skillicorn. There's two of them.
Okay. You can go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/441, and I'll be sure to have the links there. Dr. Skillicorn, thank you so much for being a part of 40 Plus Fitness.
Thanks for having me.
If you haven't already, I strongly encourage you to check us out on Facebook. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group. There you'll find our Facebook group. We do weekly challenges, and I post all kinds of cool stuff during the week. Great conversations, great people. Love to have you there. Go to 40plusfitnesspodcast.com/group and join the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast group today. Next time on the 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, we meet Rocky Snyder and discuss his book, Return to Center. Until then, have a happy and healthy week.